Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, August 26th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. We are so excited to have one of our favorite guests with us this evening. Meg Benedicte is the founder of Quantum Vortex Therapy, radio host of New Earth Central, author of Soul Realized, a teacher and speaker, leads quantum vortex activation meditations, and she's the founder of the Mount Shasta Quantum Healing Center. Next month on the Equinox, she's leading the Mount Shasta Equinox Retreat, September 21 to 24, which she'll be telling us about this evening, as well as her exciting new six-week teleseminar on 5D quantum living, which starts on the 18th of September. Meg has generously offered to demonstrate her quantum vortex activation for us tonight, so stay tuned. Her websites are newearthcentral.com and mtshastaquantumhealingcenter.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News with Anastasia, bringing you topics you won't hear on the mainstream media. We'd like to thank Fiona for hosting the switchboard this evening, and you can call with your questions or comments for Meg on 917-889-8292. We have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com, and special thanks to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you've got 10 hours of power coming that you don't want to miss. So find out when it happens by requesting your solar return timing. So first this evening, I'd like to introduce Anastasia and the Starseed News.
Well, good evening, Arielle. Good evening, Starseed, Lavendar, everybody. It's great to be with you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm connected. That's fantastic. I'm always so happy when it works. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the sun. Some CMEs have missed the Earth yesterday. Active sunspot AR2148 did erupt twice. It produced a rapid-fire pair of M-class solar flares. And for today, NOAA forecasters are estimating a 15 to 20% chance of polar geomagnetic storms today and tomorrow in response to an incoming CME. It was launched on the 22nd of August. That's a really slow-moving storm cloud, taking a long time to get here, but they say that strong storms with that are not likely. Now, in Turkey, the region of Anatolia in Turkey is known to have the most spectacular underground networks in the world. One of the most magnificent subterranean cities is Derinkuyu. They say that is 11 levels deep. It has 600 entrances. It consists of many, many miles of tunnels connecting it to other underground cities, and it can accommodate thousands and thousands of people. It's a real underground city. It has sleeping areas and stables for cows and sheep and a lot of their livestock. It has wells with water tanks. It has pits for cooking and ventilation shafts, bathrooms, and tombs. Amazing. Well, now, a man recently discovered a small subterranean city beneath the house he was remodeling in Anatolia. He said he was given the house 5 years ago, and at the time he thought it was a single-story house, so he decided to clear some stuff out from underneath it. He wanted to make a basement, prepare for renovations. Well, they discovered an underground city by accident, and they said that this has two levels. There are parts remains, of a settlement that used to be called Cappadocia, an ancient city. They say wonderful structures are emerging from underneath this man's house, like an iron workshop and a loft. So they are digging and digging, and they are finding amazing things underneath this house. Now, they've already just discovered, like I said, hundreds of villages and dozens of cities, and they found temples and secret tombs. Wow, that begs the question, what was the ground level that many thousands of years ago? Was this underground then? Was it buried? Was it built underground? I need to do some more investigations on that. But to see those photos on the Internet, it is absolutely fascinating, just fascinating.
Wow.
Now, we just know that, yeah, thousands and thousands of people lived underground. It's just amazing. If you get a chance, those of you that are interested in that sort of thing, Google Anatolia, Turkey, and also the cities of Derinkuyu, D-E-R-I-N-K-U-K-U. Amazing stuff. All right. Well, California's record drought is making Earth's surface rise. The record-breaking California drought is so bad that monitoring stations used to study earthquakes can detect the ground rising up. Measurements of these subtle movements made using GPS instruments suggest that the western United States is missing some 62 trillion gallons of water, enough to cover the entire region 6 inches deep. So, wow, very serious drought, no end in sight. And we've been talking on the Starseed News about the Icelandic volcano, which I have a really hard time pronouncing, and I'm going to try to bungle it again tonight. It's called Bar-O-R-Bunga. So Bar-O-R-Bunga volcano. They have detected a small subglacial lava eruption under the glacier at the base of this volcano, or on this volcano, and I'm not going to pronounce the glacier's name. You'll just have to live with it. But that is kind of a serious proposition, because they are saying now that this Bar-O-R-Bunga eruption could trigger Britain's coldest winter ever. They say that Britain could freeze in years of super cold winters and miserable summers if the Bar-O-R-Bunga volcano erupts. Now, this is a serious topic, you guys. I apologize for chuckling, but it's just because I can't say the word. But this is a serious matter. They say that depending on the force of this explosion, minute particles will thrust beyond the Earth's atmosphere and can trigger decades of chaotic weather patterns in the UK. It sounds pretty serious. And along that same line, I want to report that there have been hundreds of methane plumes that have been discovered erupting along the U.S. Atlantic coast. It's an unexpected discovery that hundreds of gas plumes bubbling up from the seafloor were spotted during a sweeping survey of the U.S. Atlantic coast. Now, this comes out of Life Science. It was published on the 24th of August on Sunday. They say that even though ocean explorers have yet to test the gas, they're almost certain that it's methane. And this was reported in the journal Nature Geoscience. This is where Life Science got the article out of. Well, you know, what is coincidentally occurring in the last couple of weeks are the amount of whales that are surfacing all along that region of the ocean and the rivers that are connected to that. Whales are appearing unexpectedly in the wrong places, in the wrong depth of water. I had story after story about that, about whales. So this may be connected. We certainly would have to question and wonder if the methane levels in the ocean is affecting whale behavior. One would imagine so, because it is very odd that they are all appearing at the surface. And actually, they found a rare 45-foot whale in the Virginia River that came in from the ocean and got stuck in the river. It's just happening everywhere. That's been in the news the last couple of weeks. Well, this has been on the mainstream news about the earthquake in San Francisco Bay Area, 6.0 magnitude. They say that it was reported on Sunday in the northern San Francisco Bay Area, as you know, Napa. They say it was reportedly the largest tremor to shake the Bay Area since the magnitude 6.9 Loma Prieta quake in 1989. And I do remember that one. Perhaps most of you do. And on the same day, a day before, this actually happened on Saturday, there was a 6.6 magnitude quake in Valparaiso, Chile. That is a common occurrence there, but they do have very large ones, and it appears that the Ring of Fire is very active, as it has been most of the year. And four distinct weather events has caused Nebraska grape growers to lose most of their crops. This will not be a good year for Nebraska's grape industry. I didn't realize this, but we get a lot of our grapes from Nebraska. They say the last few weeks of August are usually harvest season, but the vineyards across the state have been affected by severe weather in the last few months. They've lost crops from everything from late freezes to high winds and hailstorms in June and July. So the weather is affecting the crops in Nebraska, specifically grapes. And in the state of Washington, mudslides in north-central Washington damaged or destroyed an estimated 10 homes last Thursday evening as heavy rains hit an area recently ravaged by wildfires. Mud and rushing water combined in Ogunowan County, and it blocked highways. And extreme rain closed roads in Illinois and Indiana last week as well. This happened in late last week. Serious flooding closed roads and put some cars underwater. Flood warnings were issued for most of Chicago, where several inches of rain fell overnight, forcing officials to close stretches of Interstate 90. Now, I want you all to know that there has been flooding all across the planet this last week in every continent. Major flooding, serious flooding. And in Montana, we are being told that winter conditions are existing in August. They're telling hikers to prepare for raw winter-like conditions this month with up to 5 inches of snow possible at 6,500 feet. And temperatures are reportedly 20 degrees below normal. And because of bad weather, Canada's wheat production is down more than a quarter over last year's output. Canadian farmers are on course to produce less wheat and canola than expected. In fact, it's down 26% from last year's record harvest. And in the Gulf of Mexico, the coastal plains of Florida are facing serious threat from the Gulf of Mexico as a large red tide blooms. It says that it has not been seen for almost a decade. The photos of that are horrifying. Now, the red tide is posing devastating infestation on the marine life of Florida. They say the incoming tide has already claimed the lives of thousands of fish in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's now reported to be closing in on the coast, with the bloom expected to wash ashore in a week or two. And according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, the bloom is spread about 80 miles in length and 50 miles in width along and throughout the Gulf of Mexico, and they say that the tide is about 90 miles offshore. And in North Georgia, I'm wondering if anybody in that area happened to see a meteor that hit the area on Saturday. People all across North Georgia and the metro Atlanta saw a brilliant flash across the night sky, and scientists have confirmed it was a meteorite. The NASA camera caught the fireball passing over the state around 11:30 p.m. Suppose you had to be in the right place at the right time. A lot of people might have missed that being so late in the evening. Well, there's an interesting story out of Science Daily. You know, to me, sometimes I think they do research just to get a paycheck and are stating the obvious, but nevertheless, I'm going to share this story with you. They say that children's social skills may be declining as they have less time for face-to-face interaction to their increased use of digital media. And this is according to a UCLA psychology study. Now, UCLA scientists have found that sixth graders who went 5 days without even glancing at a smartphone or other digital media did much better at reading human emotions than sixth graders from the same school who continued to spend hours each day looking at their electronic devices. Now, these researchers say that many people are looking at the benefits of digital media in education, and not many people are looking at the costs. They say decreased sensitivity to emotional cues is causing the kids to lose the ability to understand the emotions of other people. They say the displacement of in-person social interaction with screen interaction or digital interaction seems to be reducing social skills. Well, in that case, I think they're stating the obvious. But now we have a study to prove it. So for those people that need a study to prove the obvious, there it is. There's the study. And researchers, I'm sorry, Ariel?
I said it is a serious problem.
It is a serious problem, and any of us that work with young people can tell. When you talk to them, they're disconnected. And this is a real serious problem. Yes, it is. Well, there has been much speculation about what could be achieved in the area of human brain-to-brain transfer of information, otherwise known as telepathic communication. Well, now an international team is declaring a successful brain-to-brain data transfer between a person sitting in India to a person receiving in France. Now, the journal PLOS-1 reports that for the first time, brain-to-brain interface has been achieved and that brain stimulation techniques are now available for the realization of non-invasive computer brain interfaces. Did you get that? Well, I'll just summarize it. Researchers have shown how to link two human minds directly by integrating two neurotechnologies. And in this framework, they say that they provide the first demonstration of non-invasive direct communication between human minds. Now, they say that something called transcranial magnetic stimulation has shown the most promise in directly accessing the brain and the thought. Now, further, the potential has opened up for the transmitting of emotions. Oh, this is where it gets sticky, everybody. Now, that's a mind-to-mind transfer, not merely brain-to-brain. Now, incidentally, I might bring this up, that mind control researchers have studied ways to remotely control human subjects through TMS for the implantation of certain narrative structures as highlighted by a secret DARPA project at the University of Arizona. Well, initial results of that research apparently have shown that non-invasive direct transmission of emotions and feelings is possible. Now, there's a speculation out there that future research could explore the use of closed mind loops. What's that? Well, this would lead to the conscious synthetically mediated modulation of phenomena, best detected subjectively by the subject, meaning that you would be sitting in your chair and you would be feeling things, thinking things, and sensing things that seemed out of place, outside of you, but that you were detecting. And that's just another word for mind control. Now, researchers are admitting that we have, as a society, crossed a key threshold in jumping from lab rats to human subjects, and they say that this is a critical matter. It needs to be put before the scientific establishment and the government to develop ethics on how to use this technology. So there you have it. Now, when I work with my clients, I really stress teaching people to detect energy patterns, to read energy, to understand the aura, to know where they begin and where they end, and what energy that is incoming does not belong to them. There has never been a greater time to become aware of who you are on a spiritual level. What are your thoughts, and what are someone else's thoughts, or something else's thoughts? And this is a time to be aware of the spiritual nature of our being and to be aware of frequencies, because one can train themselves to dial out incoming frequencies and to divert incoming frequencies as long as you know how to deal with frequencies, what they are, and again, where you are and where you end. And that's a really important thing now more than ever before, because that is truly, as far as I know, the only genuine and lasting defense against technologies which could be used in a harmful way or a negative way. So let's keep that in mind as we move on. Science is just getting its fingers into all types of forbidden territory. Pandora's box has been opened so many times in the last, 50 years, maybe even before that. Well, the withering grip of prolonged drought draining the Southwest of its life and agricultural prosperity continues to worsen, and they are now concerned about long-term effects on everything. Not only are they preparing for water shortages, but they're also assessing the toll on the region's wildlife. They say that livestock are not the only animals that are having a trouble in this very dry environment. They say that indigenous species are also suffering. Perpetual drought has caused raptors to be emaciated. They say that their breeding has been interrupted. And they say that in all of these areas that usually have plenty of hawks and other birds of prey, the nests are empty. They say we're losing an entire generation of birds of prey. There's been significant declines in species of red-shouldered hawks, golden eagles, and white-tailed kites. And also in areas that are having this drought, the firefly populations are also struggling. And while the fireflies are diminishing, they say the Mormon crickets are multiplying, and they say that their incidence has increased, hasn't been this much since the major drought in the early 2000s. So we have a decrease in fireflies, an increase in crickets. And also there is an upside to the firefly population because the Midwest and the North Atlantic region has had plenty of rain, and in that part of the country, the fireflies are doing very, very well. I'm happy to report everybody loves fireflies. In fact, they have developed societies and organizations that count these little creatures. You can join and become a firefly counter in your area to make sure the population is doing well in where you live. So I think that's kind of cool. Every other little insect and critter has somebody to watch after it, and now they are having people that watch after fireflies. I think that's kind of cute. I love fireflies. Don't you, Ariel?
I sure do.
They are wonderful. And that's going to be it for tonight's Starseed News, but I'm looking forward to the program. It's going to be extra wonderful tonight.
Well, it sure is, because we love Meg so much. And
absolutely.
Yeah, she's actually here with us on the switchboard. So, Anastasia, I want to thank you so much for the news. And I have to just make this one little comment as you were reporting about the mind-to-mind communication and
yes.
And kids with their digital media. I mean,
yes.
This is the Borg. This is must be how the Borg got started. You know,
no kidding. This is not science fiction anymore.
We have
to think about that.
People think of Star Trek as science fiction, but it's just science future.
Absolutely, and the future is now.
That's
I
right.
I mean, the technology is moving so rapidly, exponentially. And I personally think they have a lot more technology than they ever report to us. So I know that you agree with me, Lavendar. We all are on the same page on this. We just need to develop our spiritual technology. And that's what tonight's show is about. So that is the antidote to the other technology. We're going to build our spiritual technology. And we need it. This is the guide. This is
sounds
the place.
Like a good formula to me. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for the
You're welcome.
Start. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Lavendar, I am going to bring Meg on here. So just let me get the mic open. Hello, Meg. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Ariel. Hi, Lavendar. Evan Stasia. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's always a fun treat to join you.
Oh, we love having you here, and it just our audience loves you, and you just do such wonderful service on the planet that we're honored to know you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I actually had my solar return reading done by Lavendar a couple weeks ago, and as usual, she prepared me and pointed me in the right direction for the coming year, so it was great to connect with Lavendar recently and come on your show, so thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Lavendar, was that you starting to talk? We didn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Meg. So glad you could join us tonight. So just start telling us about what's happening at Mount Shasta. I understand that you have another place that you've moved into. You might want to tell the audience about your new headquarters.
Yes, well, it wasn't planned, which is usually how spirit works, right? And I had been opening up a little center here in Mount Shasta just this recent year. And then the first week of May, the city blocked the street off and started ripping it up and tearing it up in tractors and drills. I was like, oh, my goodness, what happened? So I had to immediately start looking for a new place. And it's such a small little town, there's not a whole lot to pick from. But, there, you know, it's just so amazing, the synchronicities and how spirit works. There's this beautiful, it's a old Victorian two-story house that the owners, on a half acre of gardens right in the center of town that's been sitting vacant for like 6 months. And they even refinanced it to get the rent down. And so we moved in May and opened in June. And it's just beautiful and lovely, and I'm so happy with it. And especially during our summer season, because this town is very much seasonal, tourist is usually during the summertime, and so we're right there open on the street in the center of town. So a lot of wonderful visitors coming in for treatments from all around the world. So it's been, I see a lot of potential here. We've had people come in from out of town who want to do workshops at the center, and we're just, it's kind of like, you know, it's like your artist's easel. You can just think of anything you want. It's like opening the doors to lots of creative ideas of what we could do with the space. So we're planning some amazing events just this Saturday coming up on the 30th. I'm collaborating with an artist in town who's doing a sacred geometry art workshop, and then right after it, we're having sacred geometry, a musician playing in concert. So it's a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it.
Well, it sounds like this is a starseed galactic watering hole.
Yeah, it seems to be, because what's also happening is those who are meant to get activated while they're visiting on the mountain sacred site somehow find their way to the center. A lot of them will call, and they literally are here from other countries all around the world, and they'll call, and they think they need a massage, and then they talk to me, and they see what I do, and they're like, oh, I don't need a massage. I need you to activate me. And so they get a doozy of a trip when they visit here, because then they get to be on the mountain and grounded in, as well as working with the master avatars and getting these activations. So it's beautiful to see how this is unfolding. I now know why I was asked to move here. I could just see it all finally clicking in. And, yeah, I'm real excited about it.
So tell us more about some of the countries that show up. Do you find like a whole group comes from like Australia at one point, or
yes,
Korea or South America?
Yes.
Tell us about some of the people that show up there.
We get definitely groups from Australia. I've worked with many from there. Also from India, Eastern India. And the Japanese love this place because, according to their spiritual understanding, the mountain is connected directly to Mount Fuji as a sacred site in Japan. So big groups of Japanese come here. We also do get Chinese and Korean, Eastern Europeans. I'm going to be one of the people who just happened to walk in and get an activation. He is an Eastern Indian, but he lives in the UK. And he has a huge group in the UK. It's like 10,000 people, followers of this spiritual organization, and they come here every year for a retreat. So they're coming in a couple weeks and asked me to do a group healing on the retreat. And so there'll be all these British people coming. So it's really exciting because it really does cover the whole continent. It's not just certain areas. Lots of awareness. That's, I think, what surprised me so much. Lots of awareness of how sacred the mountain is, and the archangels and master avatars present here. They're very aware of that in other countries. I had no idea, really. So it's really awesome to see.
Well, you know, after December 20th of 2012, you know, when the energies started rising up in starseeds everywhere,
yeah.
I just think that more and more people want to gravitate to these sacred sites. And, of course, Mount Shasta, you know, is one of the biggest sacred sites on the planet. And
yes.
A beacon that's it's like a beep-beep. There's a beacon and a beep-beep, and people are being drawn there. And from their soul records, from their bloodlines, from
yeah.
their, you know, from their spirit guide directions, it's coming from everywhere.
It
what,
is.
What's the population of Mount Shasta? How many people live there?
Oh, it's so small. It's only 3,000.
Oh, wow.
It's a dinky little town, you guys. It's like about three blocks big. It's so small. I was, of course, in shock since I came from Los Angeles. I've never been anything so small in my life. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
Right at the base of the mountain.
Yeah. Tell us more a little bit about the sacred geometry that you're doing in the next few days.
Yes. So as many of you know, I work with Metatron's Cube. I work with Sacred Geometry. And I work with the Infinity Sign. I work with those all the time, daily. And I have been doing some meditation circles here in town, and just kind of through word of mouth, and people would pop in and sit in with the circles with me. One of these beautiful souls here who lives on the mountain, she does sacred geometry art, and her partner does sacred geometry music. He plays guitar, acoustic guitar, and it's extraordinary. And so to talking, and she said that she was very interested in it. And so what she does is she leads these workshops. We're going to start it where I will take the people who are attending into the zero-point field with Metatron's Cube, and the vortex will take them into that expanded state to access the quantum field. And then she'll pair people off, and they will tune into each other and start to sketch the symbols that are coming to them. So you were talking earlier about entrainment, mind-to-mind entrainment, and clairvoyance. So they get to get some practice with clairvoyance, but also to see how spirit is communicating to them through the geometry, through the symbolism of the geometry. And she said she's done this workshop multiple times, and it's amazing how the people who pair up have such similar artwork coming through as they're tuning into each other. So it'll be fun to work with that. But it's, for me, I experience it more as a, it's the roadmap of our universe. It's the template of creation. So I work with it in that manner as a way to command energy to change in the quantum field by using the sacred geometry. So that's in the way how I approach it and utilize it. So it's wonderful to meet other people who resonate with it and are drawn to it and want to learn more about how to use it as well.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, you have something coming up, a six-week course. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've taught this course a couple times this year and last year. This is a more advanced course of learning how to work with your energy in the fifth dimensional Earth hologram. So if that's a new term to some, what's happening on the planet is there are two pretty dominant holographic realities that are coexisting in a sense on the planet, and we can choose either one, where, you know, it's a free will zone, and we can choose either one. So what's happening through this cosmic ascension plan are more and more souls are waking up to the higher dimensional hologram, which we call the 5D hologram or the 5D New Earth. And we have to elevate our frequency to actually access it. And it's really interesting right now because in a way we're in this transition time where there are the two are coexisting. So you would be living more in these 5D energies, which are really of unity consciousness and coexistence and harmony, and really a win-win situation where we all take care of each other. And then you could look out and see other people around you living still in the 3D hologram of duality and competition and all of that. So what I found as I went through this process of bridging, and it started for me, my ascension actually was activated in 1994, but then around 2005, 2006, I started getting very direct instruction on how to bridge from the 3D hologram into the 5D hologram. And it was a very strange and unusual process. I'd never done anything like that before. And I found that I was being called to connect and form a membership, a group of anyone who would be interested to learn this process as well. So I started my membership in 2008 and started helping them move through the bridging process into the 5D. And finally, in 2013, I started getting where I needed to actually teach this. So that's how this kind of developed into this six-week teleseminar. of the, it's very different in how we use our energy field, very different in how we use our chakras. It's a whole different flow of energy. It's not horizontal like the 3D hologram in. It's vertical up and down our chakra channel. So it's learning these ways and then how to be intimate, how to have sex when you're in the 5D flow of energy. It's very different as well. So there's and how to manifest. That's one of the biggest ones I get people asking me, how do I manifest in this 5D? Because that's different as well than how we used to do it with more of the mental energy or the mind, thinking mind, and the physical effort that had to happen in duality. So this is going deeper into all of that. And every week we have a handout, we have exercises for people to work on, and then I do live activations with them. And so that they will have that to listen to every through the days of the week till the next class. So it's an intensive. There's no doubt you're going to get thrown into it and have a lot you're learning and getting activated and having to let go of the old system and working with your energy differently. But once you have acclimated to the 5D operating system, everything starts to flow and get smoother in your life. This is why they call it the quantum flow. Everything begins to get into that real smooth synchronicity and balance where you're no longer being kind of pushed back and forth with this counterforce of the 3D duality. You start to move into more singularity. And I want to actually share also, too, with you what I've noticed recently just in doing my own activations and working with clients. So over this past 6 months since the solstice of December, we have been actively pulling out the matrix codes. This would be even what I call the double helix lockdown of duality in our own genetics, pulling this out so we can open up our DNA to become up to 12-strand DNA is our potential. And we've been liberating ourselves from that physical prison, the physical lockdown. So there's been a lot of releasing happening, coming out of the body. And so many people may have felt that or have been experiencing that. Especially I've seen it coming out of the right joints in particular. And this is where we're seeing the patriarchy coming out of the body. It is a operating system of the 3D hologram. And it shows up in a shadow masculine, more of the aggressive, dominating, controlling energies, and it's been lodged into the right side of our body, and especially the right joints. So we're pulling this stuff out, cleaning it out, and just recently I started noticing the crystalline grid of the 5D hologram. Up until this point, we always just locked our feet magnets onto it, but I'm noticing it starting to extend now up the legs and into the hips and root chakra. The best I can describe it is like a light grid, and it's creating an infrastructure for the light body now, and this is huge progress. And the other thing I noticed as well recently is, the best I can describe them, Lavender, they look like long, thin crystal rods or poles, and they're beginning to also get grounded into the energetics with this crystal grid to bring us into the singularity. And so these crystal rods or poles are singular in that the masculine and the feminine are united inside them. Instead of having dual poles in the body, which would be the opposing positive-negative poles in the body that we've been living in all our lives here in the duality. So I'm already starting to see the energetics and the light body are progressing and activating more now towards singularity, and the infrastructure, which would be that crystalline grid work now, is coming up and it's starting to come alive inside the light body. So I'm very excited. I feel that as we go towards the equinox here in September, this is what we're heading towards, is more of this activation of the light body and the singularity. It's really cool.
Oh, that sounds, I closed my eyes as you were talking and I could see those rods.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to ask you, because I have so many clients that said, I want to manifest more money, I want to manifest more joy. It's like people are really asking to find ways to manifest for themselves, but when they, if they're on their way to 5D and then they have to turn around and play with the money system, it which is at 3D, you know, and with the controllers having it, can you give us a little insight on how to break free from the 3D financial program that's on the planet so that the star seeds can start manifesting from 5D and at the same time come out of polarity and don't leave a footprint of how they're doing it? It's like I really don't care for the patriarch to track what we're doing, okay?
Yes.
I'm kind of, I'm very protective of star seeds and in these new technologies that we have. So can you just expand on that a little bit?
Well, I would say probably one example of getting out of the currency system is like what we see with Bitcoin, and there's probably going to be more of those. Local communities are starting to grow, so I'm starting to see that here in Mount Shasta, ways to exchange without actually getting into the actual banking system. So that feels like that is going to continue to expand. But until then, since we are in this transition where the two coexist, what I've found has worked for me is it all begins with, it's definitely an inside job. It all begins inside us and how we access that flow of money first. And then it's up to us because of free will, how then we are connecting to the energy of money or the flow of income in a way that is different than how the dark system is running it. Of course, the dark system is based on debt and it's greed and it's not balanced at all. It's not an equal exchange at all. So what I do is I work with bringing the energy coming down vertically from this beautiful, prosperous, abundant universe, and I bring the money flow down into my own chakra pillar, my own channel. I found that I had to have an open heart to be able to access this quantum flow. So anywhere there's any fear or wounding in the heart, I would encourage everyone to go in and start working on healing that first, because you need that heart to be very open and receiving. And usually when we're wounded, we're kind of, you know, clamped up and constricted. So you're not able to receive this flow coming in from the universe. And then I found it was up to me to really have an exchange with this energy of money, as we call it, or currency, as I'm receiving love coming in. I'm receiving support from the universe. I'm receiving love coming in. So it always feels joy-filled when I'm able to support myself with income. That has changed everything. Once I keep that open and flowing like that, it's a steady stream. When I get into any kind of constriction, it stops immediately. So the heart is really the key to the open flow in the 5D. The other thing I would recommend to looking for, anywhere you may have parasitic consciousness running in your system from being in the 3D matrix, this parasitic consciousness can show up in dependencies. Anywhere you are dependent on something, someone outside yourself, that will keep you locked in poverty consciousness. So you want to look for anywhere you're taking energy from an external source that will keep you in poverty consciousness. You have to get to a place where you really are open and bringing your own money flow in and being self-sustaining, and that liberates you from poverty consciousness. It's pretty extraordinary how effective that is. So then once that's set up, I opened up a corporation for this healing center. I've had to, you know, submit it into the IRS. I had to get into these 3D systems. So what I learned, and I even learned this earlier when I was in LA and still I was a consultant in the corporate world, I learned to keep inside my own container the 5D energies. The 5D hologram was in my ball of light in a sense. I was living in it, and anywhere I go, I would then only engage in the 5D energies. And so I do this when I'm working with my business. If I'm bringing in a money flow and I'm having to put it through the IRS and pay taxes and then go in through banking, you know, and all of this, I keep it in the 5D energies away from that parasitic matrix. It's almost like you're in it, but you're not of it. You're on the sidelines running your flow and you're not engaging where it is in the dark system of greed and imbalance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh, that really gives us a that's a wonderful picture you just gave us. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and it's just for now. Pretty soon we'll just be fully in the 5D and we won't even have to worry about it.
Right. So tell us more about this retreat that you have coming up. The four-day during the equinox.
Yes, so it's September 21st through the 24th. It's on the week of the equinox, and I'm trying to offer these retreats every quarter on the solstice and equinox because these are very powerful opportunities to make quantum leaps because the Stargate opens to the Great Central Sun, and we are receiving in very, very advanced and divine light transmissions, light language and light codes and light transmissions. And so while that Stargate is open, I do these retreats, and it enables us to activate anyone who's attending, start to get in and work on opening up and activating their soul's divine blueprint. And to me, the divine blueprint is coded in the Akashic Records for this lifetime, especially for this ascension plan. And there's things that may be blocking it or keeping people feeling stuck. And so we get in, and of course, working with the Vortex here at Mount Shasta, we help open and unlock and free people up and get the blueprint coded into the pineal crystal and into the bloodline, into the DNA, start to get that opened up. It's like basically kind of like a map. And it instructs us and guides us on what is our soul service and our soul purpose. And this needs to be open and awakened and coming alive inside our own energetics and our intuitive mind. So that's what we focus on, getting the divine soul blueprint activated. And we are at such an amazing time right now because it's still, it's warm, it's summer, the top of the mountain is open to the public, and we go all the way up to the top of the tree line. It's about 7,500 feet up the mountain, and it is the sacred site portal. It's called Panther's Meadow, and we're able to go where the stream literally comes up and out of the ground of the meadow. It's very sacred American Indian land. And there's also a tree whirl, so it's where you have like a dozen trees coming out of one base, and they open up, and there's the vortex portals inside it. You can actually step inside it. It's unbelievable. And so this is where a lot of the people come from Japan because they want to connect to that portal connection to Mount Fuji. And so we're going to take a trip up to that sacred place and do more meditation and activations. We're also going to go to Stuart's Mineral Springs, which is such a treat to be able to get into their sulfur baths and their huge wood-burning sauna. So there's a lot of nurturing and caring and working with the nature spirits of the mountain and the master teachers here who are very present. And it's a powerful 4 days. Also, we're launching the 4 days with what we're calling on the Sunday, the 21st, the first day of the retreat, a day of devotion. And we're planning to have garden yoga out in our garden, yoga in the morning and meditation. And then we're bringing in some very talented musical guests to do kirtan and spiritual singing. It's just going to be a great day to launch the equinox here in Mount Shasta.
Oh, that sounds great. Tell us about the accommodations. Do you have many motels or some people come and stay for,
yeah,
you know, 3 or 4 days? Where do they stay?
Well, it's because it's a small town, there's probably about half a dozen places that you can stay, hotels. There is a big, big Western here, so if you want to go that route, there is a golf course resort. That's the high end. I have a collaboration with these amazing hotel owners. They're a couple with kids, and they're running the hotels. It's called the Strawberry Valley Inn, and you can get a discount by telling them you're coming in from my center, healing center. So that's how I did it. I collaborated with people I really resonated with and just wanted to support their business and they want to support ours. So that's where I would probably start. But if anyone wants any specific information, they can email me because we have a packet that we can send to them that gives them all the different info, contact info for the different places to stay. So, yeah, there's hotels. Some people have come and stayed where they stay in rooms in people's homes because it isn't a very big place. There are homes that rent rooms out, and there's also vacation rentals where you could rent a home for the week or for the month. They're just a little, you know, a little more expensive, but they're nice to have your own home to rent too. So there's lots of options that way.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So would you be willing to talk to some of our listeners tonight, people that want to call in and ask you questions or do a little work
sure.
with them?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So
definitely.
Ariel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I'll speak to you later, Meg. Thank you
Thanks,
so much Avangard. For coming on our show.
Oh, my pleasure.
So if you would like to speak to Meg and have her help tune you up a little bit, you need to press 1 on your keypad, and if you're already dialed into the show, if you are not, call 917-889-8292 and then press 1 so that you can experience Meg's work. We have one person getting ready for that now, so as soon as she gets out of the screening room, you can go ahead with that. But I just love what you're doing up there, Meg, and I mean, so glad that you're out of Los Angeles and into a much higher, lighter area
yes.
with such strong support from the earth itself, with the energies
yes.
and the grids and the beings that
yes.
that are around.
And it's even the water. The water is one of the best water source in the world. I think it's helping me heal my body here, just drinking the water. It's very interesting. We're in a very extreme drought here in California, and yet this mountain is just so lush. There's something just very sacred about this mountain. It's so lush.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's saying something after listening to Anastasia's news reports about,
yeah.
You know, the severity of the drought. But,
yeah.
Okay, they're out of the screening room, so I am going to open up Carol's mic. Hello, Carol, you're on the air with Meg.
Well, hello, Ariel and Lavender and Meg. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you, Carol?
I'm doing good today. I wanted to give a very good testimonial because I was on Meg first.
Yes.
That was the equinox. The solstice. I can never
yeah.
remember which one is which. It's the solstice. So I was there in June, and it was very amazing those 4 days. And I stayed
yeah.
also at the Strawberry Inn and really loved that. So I recommend anybody who wants to go to this last one that Meg was mentioning. I think it's going to be great going out there.
Thank you, Carol. And Carol was in the mountains energy for 4 days as well, so she got a taste of the vortex here.
Very amazing.
It's strong.
And lots of good activations and lots of good clearings that came even afterwards with it. So it
yeah.
was really very amazing. So,
that's a good point. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Carol.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Calling Carol.
Thanks.
Well, that was wonderful to hear the, you know, firsthand experience. And
yes, she traveled from Wisconsin and came up here for the 4 days, so she was able to really just dive into We did some meditating at Ascension Rock on the mountain, and we went up to the top there and did some more intentioning, and it was a great time, definitely.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting for some more callers, but Meg is generously offering to help with any particular situation you might think that that you'd like some help with. So we have another person now in the screening room. So so how long have you been up there now? When did you move to Shasta?
It's been 2 years. 2 years this month. I can't believe it. 2 years.
Wow.
I had to get up here before December of 2012, so I moved up here September of 2012. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Great. I mean, I love living in a small town. It just, there's less of the bad things, you know, electromagnetic radiation and, you know, hundreds of thousands of computers and people on cell phones and all that. Just the energy up there has got to be so much lighter and conducive to what you're doing.
It is. It is. I know this is my soul's home. I just think more of my human self misses all the favorite places I used to go and my friends in L.A. And so that part was hard for me to adjust to. But I have to tell you, I do not miss the traffic. And it's so quiet up here. I don't miss all that noise. Oh, so, yes, very peaceful and helpful.
Well, it's really a good foundation for anyone who, you know, if you're trying to get out of that rat race, you get into a place where the energy is so pristine like that. It's just good fertile ground for your own growth. So we have another caller out of the screening room, and we are going to be picking up. The number is 832-453. You're on the air with Meg.
Hi, Meg. This is Dana. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Lavender.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're doing fine.
Great. I am, too. I have a couple of questions for Meg.
Okay.
I understood. I got on late, but I came in where you were talking about the 5D activation. And
yes.
I'm trying to understand, like, this information has been around for me. Like, every time I turn around, I'm seeing some type of sign that there's something else. But for maybe the last year, I've been feeling like I'm trapped, you know, like this, that there's something else that's available, but I don't know how to get to the door. So what I'm trying to determine is how do you activate. For the last 2 years, there's been just a spiritual awakening on love and understanding what it encompasses and the multitude of things that it covers and a revelation of myself to myself, you know. So as I'm growing, I'll hear certain things and then I'll find myself being drawn back to those things, I guess, at the appropriate time. And that has come about with the 5D activation. That's the most information that I have about it, but I'm wondering how do I release where I am and actually, you know, live in the place that I know I'm being called to live to.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Just make sure I got your first name correctly. Is it Diane?
Dana.
Dana?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What I found in going through this process, there's a couple things that we need to deal with to be able to elevate into the 5D hologram. One is our frequency. We need to increase our frequency, and this is not easy to do. And so this is why I found using the vortex every day was my tool to increase my frequency, because when you are spinning the energy in your body and around your body, the atoms in the cells actually begin to spin faster, and that's what we want to do. When you can get your atoms spinning faster, they're like little mini spheres in your cells, then you're increasing your frequency. So also there's lots of things we can do to increase our frequency just on what we eat and where we live, as we were just talking about, and who we hang out with and what we focus on. So, again, not focusing on the duality that's happening in the lower 3D Earth, not focusing on the violence and the war and all of that, not giving your power to it, but really focusing, as you said, on the heart opening and of love and of loving kindness and service. That will increase your frequency. And, of course, meditation. I'm a huge, huge proponent of meditation, because when we can quiet the mind of the ego, that's the second thing that we have to master that holds us in duality, is the ego. And I've found through my experience in working with my own ego and working with clients for the past 20 years, I really honestly believe the ego is a negative mind control program. I feel it is being developed and perpetuated in our left brain by the matrix. I don't feel this is who we are. I feel it is a artificial program. It's an artificial identity. It is controlling and negative. And this has got to get reduced and dissolved and eliminated as much as possible for us to move into the fifth dimension. Because the fifth dimension exists outside of 3D time. We've got to think about it. You're rising up into a higher dimensional reality. You're rising beyond the limits of time, which actually exists even in 4D. We want to get beyond time. So this is why I recommend everyone reading Eckhart Tolle's New Earth, because he talks about getting out of time. How do we do that? We have to watch our mind that tries to pull us into the past or into the future, and learn how to live in the neutral, still point of the now moment. And when you can learn to do this and manage the mind where it isn't controlling you, you're actually controlling, holding yourself in the now, in the still point, then you have broken free of the matrix of time, and you're able to access the quantum field. So this is kind of just a little summary of what to focus on to jump your start into more of the 5D, working with the ego, working with your frequency, and even as Anastasia mentioned earlier, containing your aura, containing your field, not enmeshing yourself with the global field, because that astral plane is a battle zone of negative forces. And so learning how to contain your energy field and then fill it with the 5D energies of love, of compassion, of unity consciousness, then you begin to live in that reality more and more each day. Does that make sense, Dana?
Yes, it does. It does.
So
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I also found that I needed to remove the duality from my energy, because that would hold me in that dynamic. And then it's very easy then, right, to get sucked in, get pulled into the drama and all of that. And that's what we're trying to pull out of. We're trying to stay more in a neutral field of non-polarity, where we're non-polarized, we're neutral, and we're in the inner peace, the calm. So also, that's why I use this vortex technique, because it helps pull the polarity out of the energetics, and you get more and more of a smooth, flowing, calm field as well. And then you know you're not susceptible to it anymore. It can't grab at you and pull you in.
Can you tell me, what is the vortex?
It's a technique I developed over the past 20 years, and it's tapping into the natural rhythm of our universe. So if you study any physics or astrophysics, there is an actual, basically all of the stars and suns and planets are spinning counterclockwise. And there's actually a vortex that spins around our planet counterclockwise. And we see this because the sun rises in the east and falls in the west. So everything is moving counterclockwise. Even the galactic core spinning a black hole counterclockwise. But we're here on a planet that's controlled by gravity. And gravity is the clockwise spin that compresses our energy into forming dense particles of matter. So we've been living in a clockwise spinning reality, and this is what has locked us down. So when we open up a vortex spinning counterclockwise around our bodies and our energy field, what this does is it starts to unlock that clockwise gravitational field that compresses and locks us down, and it opens everything up. And we can start to get in and pull out patterns and polarity and DNA codes and past life traumas, and everything can get released, and it liberates us from the matrix. So I use this vortex. It's been spinning in it for 17 years. So it now is it integrated with my field, and it's just spinning all the time. And what happens is it begins to create what's called a torus, T-O-R-U-S, a torus spin. It's almost like a donut shape. It's a constant flowing of fuel into my core. And this is what eventually will convert into the crystal Merkaba, which is the double tetrahedron spiritual body that we're starting to ignite right now. When I talk about the light body, it's the double tetrahedron Merkaba. And so it is, in a sense, this quantum vortex is our tool to transcend duality and accelerate our ascension and activate our Merkaba light body. So it's very advanced sacred geometry that's working there.
So is it reached through visualization?
Yes, it is. And also, too, because the part of my purpose is to teach this and share this so everyone can do this on their own, I do have meditations that are recorded and coded and embedded with the sacred geometry so that you can follow it on your own and work with it and get used to doing it on your own so that you're using the tool. It's really a life tool right now. It's an ascension tool. So, yes, it's visualization, but what I found is it's helping you open up the right brain, which is our holographic mind that is really what's commanding how our energy forms. So it's getting that open and really using it in synchrony with the left brain, which is focused on the third dimension of the physical world. The right brain is focused on the multidimensional world. And so you begin to sync them up and work with them together. Holographic mind of the right brain is visualizing the vortex, and it begins to run around the physical body with the left brain. So it's even though many people think, well, I'm just visualizing it, nothing's happening. Absolutely. When you use your right brain to holographically visualize and intend that vortex to spin, it will start moving your energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much, Meg. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome.
This is awesome information. Thank you.
Thanks you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Thanks, Dana. And you are Dana, right, from Houston?
Yes, I am your Dana. That's right. Yes.
Dana's going to be with us on the Crystal Quest in 3 weeks.
Nice.
And if you look, Dana, if you look at the radio player, I actually have some pictures from Meg's website. And there's a picture of the vortex to give you kind of a form to visualize it. It kind of looks like a cyclone, you know.
Okay.
You know, narrower to wider. It's like an upside down cone kind of. But yeah, those pictures are graphic representations of the intention that you can visualize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and we can talk more about that when we meet. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you soon, Dana.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, let's see. Next, we are going to talk to Yvette.
Okay.
And microphone open just a second here. Okay, now it's working. Okay, Yvette, you are on the air with Meg.
Hello, it's actually Yabette with a B, Y-A-B-E-T-T-E.
I recognize that name.
Yes, I got the Starseed reading with you, absolutely, and I just want to first express my appreciation to all of you ladies. I've been listening for years. This is the first call-in I've made, but I love it so much, so I want to say that.
Thank you. So you have a question for Meg.
I do. I'm sending a lot of love and healing to my feet, but I wondered if she has any insight or help to boost the healing for my feet. There, I feel like everything in my body is working in a very happy, cohesive, everyday, better kind of way, but my feet, I want to send, I need more healing in my feet.
Okay, and how is that, how is it manifesting for you? What is the condition in the feet that you're experiencing?
Sometimes they're swelling more than I want them to, or
okay.
I have like an itchy situation that happens with them sometimes, or they just will ache. And I've been to a doctor and done the doctor things and put them up and that sort of thing, but I wanted to find out if there's maybe an energetic link that I'm missing.
Yes. Okay. So I'm just tuning in here, Yvette, with your energy field and your soul presence for guidance. One of the things that I experienced going through this process is as we begin to unlock and not ground into the 3D matrix anymore, and we use, again, just as I was mentioning earlier with Dana, we use our right brain holographic mind to intend to ground our feet onto the 5D crystal grid. That right there, start there. And so by doing this then, we're starting to bridge over. And when we, every day you wake up and you lock your feet with your intention, with your visualization on the crystalline grid of the 5D Earth, it's actually wrapped around the planet in the flower of life, sacred geometry. We're also starting to release out the legs and feet any of the old, dense grounding, and it could be grounding roots. It could be just sludgy, dense grounding inertia. And boy, did that hurt. And that came down the calves, ankles, and out the bottom of the feet for a good month or so as I was purging that out and letting it release as I was grounding into more and more of the 5D crystal grid. So that's the first thing I'm getting. And we can do this with everybody. I would visualize as if these, they'd almost look like dark vines going up the feet, up the legs. And it's of the lower 3D Earth grid. And we all were born into it, so we all grounded to it as our home. But now we're choosing to ground to, okay, there you go, already starting to shift. And I use the vortex to push those vines down, almost like a coffee press. We're going to push them down the channels of the legs and out the feet and let them release out and return back where they came from, and we thank and bless them, but we don't need to ground there anymore. Whew, there you go, more dropping out. So we're using a counterclockwise spin, and we're spinning them down the legs and out the feet chakras and return them back into where they came. And you keep focused on moving your feet onto the crystalline grid. It's as if you're like stepping onto a crystal base, and then that latches onto the crystal grid. So that crystal base is the bottom of your aura. It's the grounding platform. Okay, there you go. Your feet are locking. So your feet magnets, your feet chakras, lock to the crystal base. Whew, there you go.
I feel a lot of energy moving that way.
There you go. Yes. So what we want to do is we drop the dense, sludgy grounding vines from the 3D grid, and we're replacing them with like legs of light, like you're just getting the crystal white light running up the channels, up the feet, up the legs to your root chakra and your hips and pelvic floor. Get a good strong grounding base on the new earth, on this new beautiful crystal grid. Ooh, there you go, more coming up into the hips. And when it starts to come into the lower chakra there at the pelvic floor, I just pull it there like a golden sun, golden white sun, just like building there. And this will then create an upward wellspring up our chakra pillars, always going to support us. Whew, there you go. You're locking on. I just felt your feet chakras lock. You're still dropping. I do still see. So you, and we can do this simultaneously. We can drop out the dense, sludgy stuff. It almost looks like tar coming down and out of our legs, mm-hmm. out of our feet. And then still bringing the white light, crystal light up to stabilize. And I'm also getting, let's run a figure eight. So I use, as I mentioned earlier, the golden infinity signs. So let's run one left and right at the hips. And this is for everybody. We want our hips to be parallel to the grounding, parallel to the floor, and also uniting left and right, feminine and masculine. You're starting to weave those energies with the figure eight. There they go. They're starting. So we can pull one at your feet in your grounding and then at your hips. Because we want the energies running equally up and down the grounding of the legs. And then into the chakra pillar and then into the spine. Ooh. There you go. You guys are dropping some more out. And as I mentioned earlier, let's do this real quick just for everybody to get some relief. There's this whole, I don't even know what to call it. I guess this dark, oppressive, aggressive, shadow masculine of the patriarchal system. This is collapsing on our planet, thank God, and it's releasing. And so let's use the counterclockwise spins. This spins from right to front to left to back. And so we're going to use it to push out from the right side, which is where our masculine runs. We're going to run the vortex to propel out of the right side any of the shadow patriarchal masculine. Because since we've been living in it, we've been involved with it. And there we go. Out of the right joints, out of the right brain, out of the right grounding. We spin it out and release it back to the light of Source Creator. And then it starts to open up the right side to bring in more of our soul's light to fill inside with our own soul divine presence, which is a golden light. Soul light, soul love. And that's beginning to balance the body better as well. You can feel that left and right, feminine on the left, masculine on the right. And we are working towards uniting them inside us, as I mentioned when I was talking with Lavender, into singularity where they blend. They're not going to be dual energies in us anymore. They're going to blend and unite inside us in singularity. But first we just have to balance them. So it feels like you could still release a bit down the legs. And I felt that, like I mentioned, for a good month or so, there's really a lot dropping down and out.
So
you just keep it moving. You know, you can use the vortex, command it to spin down. If you feel like it's getting a little thick and sluggish, you just keep it moving out. And you can also do that with movement, yoga, breath work, walking in nature. There's all kinds of ways, just keeping the energy moving out, releasing out.
Okay.
And grounding to that light grid, that crystal grid, every day.
Thank you for that visualization. I think that will help immensely.
Yes. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way I can do it. Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Yvette. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
And I just love the work you do, Meg. It is so powerful. And it's like instant connection. Just a little aside here. We got two more people that want to come in, but we have a little bit of time. I just wanted to say that when you built the vortex for me, you know, it's perpetual.
Yes.
Once it's there, you know, and we might, you know, go out and running errands and have a bad interaction with the 3D world, but you just come back and just give it another spin, you know. Keep giving it a spin, and that work that you did for me is continuing to benefit me in all kinds of ways. So I thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome, Ariel. And it really does, as you mentioned, become what we call a continuum. It's a continual, perpetual spin. It creates a continuum around your aura. And so it's always there helping us and stabilizing us. And I found the vortex, it's coded to bring us into balance. So it will help bring up stuff that's out of balance. It's constantly trying to heal us and bring us into balance. So I'm so glad to hear that you're really still receiving the benefits of it.
I sure am. And
awesome.
Next, we have another caller for you. And this is Yvonne. And I'm going to get your microphone open here. Okay, Yvonne, you are on the air with Meg.
Hi, Meg. I feel like I know you, Meg.
Well, that's on some level.
Because I found like your show when you first started on Blog Talk, and I was in such a deep hole, and it was just such an incredible thing that I could call in and I spoke with you. And I was talking about how there was no outer life. And
yeah.
Honestly, it has been so slow in reconnecting. So I want to just, I think I hear what you're saying about the energies coming up because I can really feel my tailbone.
Mm-hmm.
So I related that to what you said there. But when I interact with people, when I need to do something, it's 5D. But I am so, like, I'm hooked up. I've been spinning now for, you know, almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just want to know, like, is there, I've been feeling lately, like, kind of frustrated because I really want to break through to where I can actually pull things in.
Okay.
And I've been and I have left side stuff. I mean,
left
I have my right
stuff.
Knee,
okay.
But for me, most of it, yeah, and it's that, I think it's the, the matrix in my neck and my jaw, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to tune in to my higher self, to your higher self. Let me just see here, Yvonne, what is up right now. Okay, so we're using a spin right to left. It's starting to actually unwind something off your crown. Let's and the back of the neck, mouth of God, into the reptilian brainstem and upper spine. And we're just going to pull off where there's anywhere the matrix is still grabbing you there, trying to hang on or manipulate the consciousness. Here we go. Just going to start to. It's almost like attachment cords pulling back outwards. Just release them back out. So there we go. This is where anyone who's watched The Matrix, they were right on that first matrix because it plugs into the back of the neck, into the reptilian brain. So we're removing that attachment cord that feeds the program into our minds. Oh, there it goes, slides out. And then we seal our light body inside to the outside world, to the astral plane. And we're building a very sovereign, sacred space inside now where we are really very private and self-sourcing. Okay, there's a thing coming off your chest now. Heart and throat. That's some oppression, so we're just getting layers of, it could be even past life layers, Yvonne, of past life trauma. Of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
There goes out. Back to source light. So there's a weight coming off the shoulders and the chest. And that is the oppression of the divine feminine power. And so this is why you're feeling some of that in the left side. So as we're lifting off the morphic field of oppression, in a sense, the layers that subjugated the feminine power. Let's let that come off so it opens up the left side for more and more of your divine feminine goddess priestess can fill into the body. It's coming down from your I am, your divine self, down into the body. There she is. And you just bring your goddess to sit into the hips, into the body, into the heart. To replace where there was the weakened feminine or the broken feminine or the victim feminine. That is not your truth. Good. And more of that's coming out. So let's just do a spin out. We're going to call out and release out any of the shadow feminine. And so this is the weakened feminine, the dependent feminine, the victim feminine. The needy feminine, doesn't matter what gender you are, if you have this running in you, it's shadow, it's distortion, and it's not our truth. It's false. It's a false matrix. Okay, spin that out. Command it out. We're learning to embody both our God and our goddess in their full power. Okay, good. More coming off, Yvonne. Spin it away, back to source light. And as we clear out these energies that are not even our origin, you're moving your own golden light soul presence to fill in these areas that we've been clearing out. Whew. And now I'm feeling more of the matrix unlock off you. It's just a more of the entanglement coming out, the web. You're just unplugging from the web and moving into the open space of the 5D. It's just pouring the light of source in. There you go. You're shifting out of the dark web into, it's like you're moving into the original Garden of Eden. Everything is shimmering colors and resplendent life.
Yeah.
Fed by light.
Yeah, I visit there like a couple times a month. But I can't understand. I've been burning for, I figured today it's been 6 years every day. What is my body burning? If
you're chelating, you're chelating the matrix consciousness out of your system. You're chelating. So I'm always sweating and burning, and what we're doing is we're crystallizing the cells from density, carbon density, into crystal silica. And so you're burning off the carbon. You're burning off the sludge, the inertia, the density.
But that doesn't burn off like the wounded feminine matrix? I mean,
that would be a different. So there's systems, and then there's actual consciousness in the cells. So you're moving a system. We just pulled a system of the wounded feminine out, mm-hmm. and then you're burning the. And you have to think about it. It's all of your lives you're clearing out of your cells. That's why it's so. It's major. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's all I do.
I know.
Yeah, but I don't work. I walk in nature. I mean, honestly, it's all I do. I haven't worked in years. I mean, I can't pull anything in.
I
don't know.
I mean, I pulled my first system out 20 years ago, and I've been chelating for 20 years. You have to think about it, too. The star seeds are working on the personal and the planetary simultaneously. So just
right.
as we're clearing the oppressed feminine power, we're clearing it off the planetary field as well. That's why this is our work. This is our work. This is why we're here. This is our work. But, okay, so let's talk about pulling in. So this has to do, again, what I mentioned, if the heart is wounded, it's hard to open the heart and point it up your channel and pull down vertically. You want to work with your energy vertically. You heal the heart, you point it up, and you receive the blessings coming down your channel, down your chakra pillar. So if there's anywhere the heart is constricting or it feels wounded or it's not trusting, it's not open, it's not receiving, it'll be hard to pull in
mm-hmm.
what you need to manifest. So let's go into mm-hmm. the heart. And I start, when I work at the heart center, it's a spinning chakra. And so first let's get it spinning counterclockwise. Get all the chakras spinning counterclockwise. Yeah, there we go. And then point them inwards, not out to the external astral plane where the battle's going on. Point the chakras inwards. This is what I teach in the 5D class, how to work with your antenna tower, how to work with your chakras. This is our sensory body. This is our light body. We need to know how to work with it. Okay, there you go. You're starting to point it inwards to your soul's light stream. So that's the first thing. If you're pointing your focus outwards, you're not able to receive anything. Okay? That's where the left brain is front. It's holding you in the matrix. You want to point. It's an inside job. Everything
yeah.
has got to happen inside.
Yeah, I don't do anything outside. I mean, I don't put out any information. I don't feel like I need to. I do it all from inside, but I guess, I don't know.
But where are you pointing your focus to manifest?
In my inner pillar. You know, I bring it from above, from source, and I bring
okay.
it down.
And then when you bring it in, are you able to contain
and
it?
I feel it.
And it gets into your magnetic field?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
No?
There's a disconnect between that, the energetics. Okay, so the light, you have the light current, and then you have the magnetic fields. We're electromagnetic. It feels like there's a disconnect between the light current and the magnetic field. So let's go into, again, that's going to happen between the heart and the mind. Let's run a figure eight here a bit between the heart and then up to the mind and back down to the heart. They need to synchronize and get into coherence to be able to link up what you're bringing in with your visualizing, and your light current goes into the heart magnetism. Oh, here they go. They're starting to sync up. And then it should help you magnetize it, what you're bringing down your pillar.
Yeah, because the idea of bringing it all in is something I think I've known my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's how I used to manifest before I knew I was in this process. I don't go out. I don't do anything outside of myself unless I receive a message to. So thank you. I can definitely feel a hookup there.
It's definitely syncing up. So maybe run that figure eight every day to help kind of the body intelligence hold that linked up now.
Yeah. Okay.
And then what you're bringing down your pillar will be able to get into the magnetic field.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, because I do my homework. I do.
I think it's just, again, because we've been in duality and we've been separated, we're having to kind of rebuild this interconnection and harmony inside. So, yeah, try the heart-mind coherence now with that theory.
I felt the beginning of this year, too, that there was a drop from the collective work that I was doing, that it was lightening up, you know, and that something dropped there. And so, you know, maybe I just was so into that work for some reason, you know.
Well, that I agree. I feel, especially since this solstice that we just had in June, it felt like we were starting to shift from being in service to the holding the light for humanity and for the planet, to now be able to hold the light inside us and radiate it. And because all souls are being called now to step into their own light and connect to their own channel. So it's kind of like, you know, as a parent lets a child go off to college, you know, in a way we're kind of doing that. We're stepping back and we're not carrying the load. We're not carrying the light for everyone. We're demonstrating it now, how to live and beam the light. And this is a big shift in the planetary field right now.
That was the lightning bolt. What you just said, my whole being just totally, and that is exactly how I have felt. And this is why I love you, Meg, because you've been the only being on this planet that can give me that, you know, and I so thank you. And I thank Ariel and all of the women there also for having you. And because I'm far from Shasta, and I haven't had the travel energy, so this has been such a blessing.
Oh, you're welcome, Yvonne. I'm so glad you're able to get that lightning bolt.
Yeah, because I want to get stuff out there.
Yes.
All right. Now that we built it, let them come.
That's right. And it does free our energy. I have found that to happen in the last month or so. I felt my energy freeing up where I didn't have to carry so much for the planetary, and now we can start to live this 5D. That's really the goal here, right? We want to live it.
Yes, and to show people how it's lived, and, be the hubs to start the connections. Yes.
Yes.
Bless your heart and your soul. I so adore you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Thanks, Yvonne. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ariel.
Oh, great. Wow, that was very powerful.
Yay.
So we have one more person with a question. And if I get the mic open here, we'll talk to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. You are on the air with Meg.
Hi, Meg. How are you?
Hi, Cindy. How can we help you?
Well, I'm sort of the layperson here who hasn't been practicing a whole lot of this, although I know about it.
Okay.
And I think things have just unfolded very naturally for me. I had problems on the right side of my body because I was, like, doing things for people and giving things away. And in the past 2 years, I've had to take my power back through tests, being tested by other people. And now I've gotten to the point where I'm very aware and very careful about, you know, when somebody comes towards me, I can just see it clearly that, you know, I'm still being tested.
Yeah.
I can see what it is, and I hold back. So I would love to have you scan me and tell me what you think.
Okay. Also, too, what I loved you mentioning, and it is about learning to just to hold our center. I think because our souls were coded to carry the light on this planet for so many thousands of years, it's instinctual. We just not even thinking. We step in and are in service to others. And so there is a bit of a reorienting happening right now where we're now being guided to not enable everybody, but start to just be the light presence on the planet and more of the coach and the mentor and the healer, so all souls can really mature and grow into their power. Okay, so let me just tune in here with you with your energy field. I do feel you are dropping some down the legs as well as we were doing earlier with I think it was Dana or Bette. We're just dropping the lower energies out. And I'm still doing this, so just not to worry if you guys are having this symptom. I'm still having it, and I've been doing this for years. We are discharging or purging the density out of the cells as we're crystallizing these cells now. And we're also training our bodies to live like in photosynthesis. So one of the things I'm getting, just to encourage everyone, is to take chlorophyll because we are training the cells to live on light, which is electrical current. So taking chlorophyll helps, or chlorella helps as well as silica, as I know Ariel and Lavender are always encouraging everyone, take your silica. All right. Whew, we've got some things coming off the outer boundary. So it's like an outer layer coming off here. Ooh. Feels like it's morphic fields from past lives. So this can happen also where we're releasing old trauma from past lives, or we're releasing old family of origin patternings coming out of us from this life or past lives. And I'm feeling that lift off you right now. We're spinning it away back to source light. So part of what happens when we have to come into the 5D, right, we have to live in the now. This means we're literally letting go of our entire past history on Earth. And then that's major. You know, this is huge. So I feel the past drops away at the back of the body. Our future's in front of us on our path of light. So, again, I'm feeling also some unplugging and attachments coming off the back of the body of the past. So what I do is I just hold my intent that I just bless it and thank it for bringing me to this point of my ascension, but I'm going to let it return home to source. And it is also my past lives, so I'm letting go of even the energetics of the past timelines in my unified field can start to fold and return into the light as well. Even the identities that I was involved in those past lives. I'm learning to live now just as my full soul of all aspects of all timelines in me now, in the now moment. And there you go, you're releasing out some more levels or timeline energies out of the field, out of the past, off the back, so that you can embrace the soul presence in your core, in your heart, in your chakra pillar of all timelines in the now, the full now. More coming off the back some more. So it's really just honoring that you're in this ascension activation. You're in, as like you said, you're in the right timing and the right place. You're honoring what's happening energetically in you. You're letting the physical biology release what it no longer needs to hold on to. You're embracing more of the soul presence inside you and your heart and your solar plexus, your core. We're awakening it up in your holographic mind. And there you go. You're starting to move into this is for everyone. Just moving into more of that natural still point. I always feel it right around the navel here, navel area. It's right around where between the solar plexus and the heart we're going into. It's our center of gravity, and we want that to be neutral, still, zero gravity. This is why we call it a still point. Whew, just breathe into that. And as we inhale in, we breathe into our divinity. And then as we exhale, we just spread and expand our divinity through our entire being. It's a pulse of light. It's like a strobe light in this still point, in our center. It's just the pulse of the soul, light, pulse of our divinity. Can you sense that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is it, you guys. This is what we want to live in all the time. Yes, this is it. So it's really pulling ourselves away from duality and the battle and getting more into singularity, which is the single pulse of the divine light inside. It's very neutral. There's no fibrillation. There's no push-pull. It's just very calm. And it fuels us. It fuels the heart. It fuels the chakra pillar. Fuels our body, our organs, all of it. Fuels the aura. And our feet are grounding this onto our crystal base, our grounding platform. So the light can continue to run up and down the biocircuits without overloading us or overstimulating us or short-circuiting us. So we ground every morning to our crystal base so that the light current can run smoothly up and down the body. And I just feel it tingle all the time. I can feel that's spirit. That is our soul. That's spirit tingling. It's light. Excellent. That's taking hold. So the vortex is spinning it, and when it starts to pick up speed, it's now grounding it inside the cells and at the feet, really holding it as your natural condition. So that was beautiful. Thank you for calling in and asking about that, because I'm sure everyone was able to benefit coming more into their still point.
Well, that was terrific. I actually just released a bunch of my past life stuff. So all that you
did, you okay? Yeah, you saw it was coming out. Boy,
my back was killing me, and then all of a sudden, when I released that past life stuff, it's just incredible. My body just feels so fluid now.
That's it. It's like liquid light, and then it's very fluid and flowing vertically up and down the channels, up and down the chakra pillar, up and down the spinal column. And nothing holds, right? There's no contraction. Nothing holds on. It's just open and flowing.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, this is excellent. I mean, considering I'm a layperson, I understood everything you said.
Good, good, good.
And I could feel it, too.
Good,
thank
wonderful.
You so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, and I would really recommend, I mean, either your Meg's teleseminar series, which is coming up. I know you've got a lot of meditation, vortex meditation CDs.
Yes. There's CDs and downloads. There's like 10-minute quick downloads people wanted me to create. So those are there for people who are on the run, you know, and just get it activated and running so they can start their day. So, yeah, there's lots of different options there at the site.
And those are at newearthcentral.com?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And is your contact email information on the website as well?
It is. It's support@newearthcentral.com. That's our customer support email.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking as I was listening to the work that you were doing and talking about other energies, you know, shadow energies in the body,
yeah.
And, you know, you kick them out so there's more room for the soul and the higher self. I just had this picture that there was like roommates that weren't paying the rent.
Right.
Yeah, they got to get out. This is a single inhabitant dwelling.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, and you know how we're talking about the right brain holographic mind, and that's how my soul and team communicated to me through the earlier years, especially, was in those visions, like symbolic visions or dream messages. And they do. They use the house image all the time, and they would show me, based on the condition of the house in the image or the dream, what I was dealing with. And so, especially if the doors and windows are wide open and there's all these strangers in my house, it was like, uh-oh, I need to go do some cleaning.
Gosh,
and securing.
Gosh, yeah, I mean, every once in a while I'll have a dream, like there's a bunch of strangers in my house, and I spend most of the dream trying to tell them to just, you know, get the heck out.
Right,
you know,
right,
you weren't
in right.
here. You know, by the... And it always invariably, I'm trying to dial the police, and the phone pad doesn't have numbers like I'm used to seeing. I always end up, you know, getting them to leave. But it's interesting that you had kind of similar dream
yes.
imagery. Yeah, but I never
and
really
And boundary issues, too. That would definitely point me to if I was having some boundary issues with anyone in my life as well, like the roof is missing or something.
Right, right. Yeah, so, well, this is just wonderful. It's always such a pleasure. When you come on, the time just flies by. And let me just take one more quick check. I think you've answered everyone's questions. And
awesome.
Beautifully, I might add.
Thank you.
So, Lavendar, we just have a few minutes left. Do you want to... add anything before I wrap it up?
Yes, I'd like to say that I want to go to Mount Shasta. Every time she comes on the show, I close my eyes and I can see through her eyes what the place is like, and it's like, what takes me so long to get to Shasta? So I'm wondering if other people have that same thought and feeling as they're listening to Meg, and if you have the urge to go, just... pack your bag and get in the car and go, or get on an airplane and show up. So
yes,
the calling is happening, and you know who you are if the calling is happening to you.
Yeah.
So
yes,
that's
and it's
what I love.
Still very warm, and the mountain's still open, and before the snow starts, this is the perfect time to come.
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you.
Okay. Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Lavendar.
So just... quickly before we wrap up, it's newearthcentral.com and also Mount Shasta, and that's just MT Shasta Healing Center.com. And please, you do have a radio show with a membership radio show still?
Yes, we do have we're still doing it. We started in 2011. It's New Earth Central. And it's on Blog Talk Radio, and there's 2 years of archives of shows there open to everyone, actually more than 2 years, because I do post quite a bit of our global meditations on there. So it's in 2013, we brought it into our membership, and we have our weekly show on Wednesday nights with our members. And so that's something, too, if you're interested in getting live healing and support and activations. I work with my members every week on Wednesday nights.
Excellent. I don't know if you have much time for sleeping. It seems
I
like
don't.
You just, you've got so
I
many
don't.
Wonderful
I work like
80-hour
weeks. It's crazy. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, well, you know, every once in a while when I feel overwhelmed by the number of hours, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that there are so many people awakening and, you know, finding their way to teachers, and I do it joyously, but it's nice to have a few days off once in a while, just
yes.
to, you know, work on our own, and you know, you really do have to take care of your own self first, and it's not
yes.
It's not being selfish, because if you're walking around, you know, half injured, half sick, half broken, you're just not really being that effective for anyone, including yourself. So take the time for yourself. Do the work. You know, there's plenty of sources on Meg's website, and there's a lot of stuff on ours as well. But give the time to yourself, give the energy to yourself, and when you come out, you will be so much better able to manifest and do better, be a better person, a higher frequency,
yeah.
Do more good for more people, and keeping your own boundaries. It's just a wonderful time.
It is. It's an amazing time to be on the planet. It is.
It is, and we all chose that this timing. So once again, Meg, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, from all of us here, for sharing your time with us.
Thank you, Ariel. I love being here with you.
And do let us know, you know, how the retreat goes, and keep us in the loop.
Okay, definitely.
Okay. So, everyone, I want to thank you for listening, especially Meg. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And from all of us here, Lavendar, Fiona, myself, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week, and keep that vortex spinning. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.